The following is an AUFans.com production.
It's a new day, Auburn fans!
Steps up, in trouble, he's on the run, hit as he throws, incomplete! Tigers win! Tigers win!
Prepare to be entertained and informed.
What about it, punk?
Your life might even change.
Do you bleed orange and blue?
War Eagle!
You are about to enter the AU Fans Podcast with expert witness testimony. I mean, expert commentary delivered straight to your plate by Stan the Unusual Man Stevens.
War Eagle, everybody, and welcome to this week's AU Fans Podcast. I am your host, Stan Stevens. What about that call by Rod Bramlett, who described perhaps the single greatest play in Auburn history?
All right, here we go. Fourth and 18 for the Tigers. Here's your ball game. Nick Marshall stands in, steps up, going to throw downfield, just a home run ball, and it is tipped off. And Lewis got it on the deflection. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Lewis is going to score. Touchdown, Auburn. Touchdown, Auburn. A miracle at Jordan Hare. A miracle at Jordan Hare. 73 yards, and the Tigers, with 25 seconds to go, lead 43-38.
For what was riding on the game and the unlikeliness of not only converting a fourth and 18, but to throw a 73-yard touchdown pass, and even a pass that only moments before appeared to be easily either intercepted or knocked down by two Georgia defensive backs that were in perfect condition, and they miraculously knocked each other off the ball, putting the ball up in the air for Ricardo Lewis to catch and then to trot into the end zone, and thus started a celebration again that would rank with any of the great plays in the annals of Auburn University football. Of course, with this win, the Auburn Tigers ran their 2013 record to 10-1, setting up the unlikely, again, showdown with the Alabama Crimson Tide in 2 weeks for the SEC West title. Folks, I truly am not going to be able to do justice to a play that became, as Gary Danielson said, the play of the year. It led off every Sports Center broadcast that night, and again will undoubtedly be discussed years and years from now when Auburn football is talked about. I don't even know where to begin with on that play, and in fact, really, this game was a game. There was two games in one. One, the first half, or really the first three quarters of the game, won by the Auburn Tigers. The Auburn started out fast. First half completely dominated. If there was any criticism of Auburn, maybe in the first half, was the fact that the Tigers had to settle for field goals when touchdowns seemingly have been coming to Auburn, you know, up until this game. And then even allowing Georgia to drive right before and on, in fact, the last play of the first half to get a field goal to make the game 27-10. But again, Auburn dominated the first half in a way that you would have never thought the final ending would have had to come down to that type of throw. Even at the end of the third quarter, Auburn, you know, with a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, leading 37-17, and again, to that point, no indication that this was going to be anything but a blowout. And then, almost out of nowhere, Aaron Murray, the great senior quarterback for the University of Georgia, started putting together one drive after the other, and it looked like Auburn really lost its composure. I mean, after Georgia drove down and got the score to cut it to 37-24, the Auburn offense that had been, if not dominant, had been very steady throughout the game, suddenly had trouble putting together first downs. In fact, they may have only gotten like one first down out of the last three drives as Georgia. And then, you know, the defense, again, became very poor. So a defense that up until this game had been dominating the second half and especially the fourth quarter. So as Georgia continued to march down the field and score, Auburn seemed to get even more and more almost the deer in the headlights kind of look. Finally, even Stephen Clark, the great Auburn punter, shanked a punt, and Georgia started their last, their next to last drive of the game on Auburn's 45. And on fourth down, very controversial call by the officials. Aaron Murray was awarded a touchdown when some angles looked like it showed him being down at, you know, maybe the half yard line with his knee. But the call on the field was a touchdown, and honestly, there probably wasn't enough film footage to overturn that, you know, video evidence to overturn the call. So now with, you know, a little over a minute to play, Auburn found itself after the kickoff some 80 yards, 79 yards from Georgia's goal line. And again, that the last, Hail Mary, if you will, pass, I don't know. Like everybody else, I would struggle to explain really what happened, except that you had two Georgia guys going, for the ball at the same time, and not unlike you've seen in baseball, where maybe even a routine fly ball and outfielders not being, calling the fly ball, and they would run into each other and the ball would drop. For it to happen in that manner, and for Ricardo Lewis to still have the presence of mind to kind of look back, and he, if you watched obviously the replay, and I'm sure all of you have, he tips the ball a couple of times, in his own hands before he secures it. So again, maybe perhaps the greatest single Auburn play in Auburn football history, given what all, was riding on that play. And of course, that ball, if it drops to the turf, that's your ball game. This Auburn Georgia game was a classic, and not just because of how it finished. The Auburn crowd, after Auburn having been on the road for the last couple of weeks, you could tell they were ready for, a big football game. And the South's oldest rivalry. I mean, Auburn, Georgia, anytime they get together, you never know what kind of wild play is gonna come out of the game. So what does it all mean at the end of the day? By the way, let us not forget that with only 25 seconds, Aaron Murray drove Georgia down to the Auburn 25-yard line, or was it the 20-yard line? And for what he'd been doing all night, that was a scary moment on the last play of the game. Fortunately, Dee Ford, who had been pressuring Aaron Murray throughout the game, came up one more big time, just like he did against Johnny Football at the A&M game, and chased Aaron Murray out of the pocket and hit him as he tried to throw, and the ball fell harmlessly to the turf to end that game, Auburn winning 43-38. So, again, what does that mean? Well, again, it put Auburn at 10-1, and put them in position to play Alabama for the Western Division title with the right, with the winner going to Atlanta to play for the Southeastern Conference Championship. As far as the Eastern Division is concerned, that eliminated Georgia, and with South Carolina barely winning later Saturday evening, putting South Carolina in the clubhouse, as they say in golf, with a 6-2 record. Now Missouri still leads the Eastern Division with only one conference loss. However, they've got a couple of big games that we'll talk about here in just a few minutes. But what about Auburn? I mean, of course, this is turning into one of the greatest years in Auburn history, considering the fact that, you know, this Auburn Tiger team ended 3-9 for Auburn to come from where they were just a year ago and to be sitting here 10-1 awaiting Alabama to play for the Western Division Championship is truly amazing and remarkable. And as I said last week, all the goals that Auburn could have possibly had in the preseason are still there. When you play Alabama, if you beat Alabama, then you're going to go to the SEC championship game. You win that, you're Southeastern Conference champions. Now, the national championship game for Auburn would be probably Auburn's going to need a little help. Of course, if they beat Alabama, that obviously is going to give them a huge strength of schedule advantage, plus with having a quality opponent in the Southeastern Conference game as well. But with Florida State solidly number two right now, it would take quite a bit for Auburn to, if Ohio State goes undefeated, and maybe even Baylor. So that's, there's got to be some things happen. And, the way this season's going, it's not out of the realm of possibility that maybe Ohio State will lose to Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship. This weekend, we'll know by next week's show, Baylor travels to Oklahoma State, a very good 10-1 perhaps Oklahoma State team. They play in Stillwater, Oklahoma. If Oklahoma State were to upset Baylor, then that's another piece of the puzzle. So, again, I think Coach Malzahn's approach of let's just take it one game at a time and worry about the things that Auburn can control. Of course, this being a podcast, we can speculate all we want. But it's been an unbelievable year. And it's going to be the Alabama-Auburn game. This will be the first time since the SEC went to divisional play that the Auburn-Alabama game will actually determine one of the participants in the SEC championship. So even though Alabama and Auburn have gone to Atlanta and played in the SEC title game several times, this game, the Alabama-Auburn game itself, has not determined the Western Division champion until this year. Alabama, of course, struggled with Mississippi State Saturday night. They've had a history coming off the LSU game of in fact, struggling. So I was not that surprised. I watched the game. I never really thought Alabama was any danger of losing that game, even though Mississippi State did cut the lead one time, and made it close for a while. We'll talk more next week before the Alabama-Auburn game. We'll go into more depth on some of the key matchups, what Auburn has to do to beat Alabama. We'll talk about that, next week in depth. But without going into every play-by-play for the Georgia game, it was a game where Auburn again came out. They ran the football, they threw it some successfully early, and of course the huge play to end the game. There was a lot of mistakes Auburn made when they were up that I think that they'll have to correct. And the good thing is Auburn has 2 weeks before the Alabama game, and I'm sure Coach Malzahn and the staff are going to be working, you know, double time to correct the mistakes they made and give themselves the best chance, you know, against the Crimson Tide. All right, so again, if you haven't downloaded Rod Bramlett's call of that touchdown, try to do it. Anytime you need a lift, at 27 seconds that he recorded that you can find on the internet for that final touchdown for Auburn is well worth listening to over and over. Now, around the SEC, last week, South Carolina, as I said, went ahead and beat a stubborn Florida team 19-14 and didn't look real good in doing it. So, Steve Spurrier continues to win, but they do it ugly, as the saying goes. Vandy beat Kentucky 22-6 in a game that Kentucky was in until the very end. We mentioned Alabama beating Mississippi State. Ole Miss beat up on Troy. This weekend, you know, of course, Auburn has the bye week. Georgia Southern will play a Florida team that's really, really going through some struggles. They've got a ton of injuries. Coach Muschamp's on the hot seat, as they say, but I look for Florida to beat Georgia Southern. Kentucky will travel to Athens, Georgia, play what must be a very dispirited Georgia Bulldogs team to have come back like they did. An unbelievable comeback by the Dogs, but, you know, to lose it in that manner. But I look for Georgia to handle Kentucky. Couple of really big games. You've got Missouri traveling to Ole Miss. Missouri at Oxford playing the Rebels. And it comes down to this from Missouri. They have to beat Ole Miss on the road, and then next week against Texas A&M, or South Carolina represents the East in the SEC championship game. So that's a huge game. I'm still not sure, as I go to press here, who I think is going to win that game. Ole Miss has played really well at home. And, I mean, I like Missouri, especially if they have maybe James Franklin back at quarterback, a real barn burner. And, of course, in another huge game this weekend, the Johnny Manziel-led Texas A&M Aggies travel to Baton Rouge and play LSU. I like Manziel's chances in this one. I think Manziel's hopes for a second consecutive Heisman Trophy really boils down to these last two games, because, I mean, playing LSU on the road and then they go and play Missouri on the road, those are two huge football games for all the teams involved. And if Johnny Manziel puts up some huge numbers, I still think it's his Heisman, you know, to lose. Even though famous Jameis Winston from Florida State is also one of the co-leaders. So that's your big games around the SEC this week. And, of course, you know, again, next week's show we'll be, you know, wrapping up the regular season with all probably some of the traditional rivals. We would talk about that then. Now, so that's pretty much it around the SEC. Okay, folks, it's that time again on AU Fans to talk to an Auburn graduate that comes to us from somewhere around the globe. And this week, all the way from Georgia, I guess that's Georgia, Russia. Well, our guest will have to explain to us exactly where he is. But anyway, coming from across the great European country is Oshisha. I'm not sure I'm even saying that right, Oshisha. You're going to have to help me out with that. How do you pronounce your name?
Yes, the name is Oshisha. It means fearless. And it fits, too, unless I see a spider. Or fruitcake, then not so much. And to tell you, Georgia is it's own country, not part of Russia at all. Not at all. We are not actually Russian.
All right.
At one time, Georgia was part of USSR, but that is no more case, so we are not Russians at all.
Okay.
Other name is Andronikashvili. It's the name is Ushisha Andronikashvili. Easy name, but many people from school and from U.S. just call me Larry.
Larry? How'd they get that out of your name?
I'm not sure, but I seem to remember they call me Larry saying I am a cable television guy. Have something to do with me working Russian television station and...
I see. There's a comedian here in the States named Larry the Cable Guy. And they've nicknamed you after him. So, yes, I will, if it's okay, I will call you Larry.
Okay, yes. Yes, that was it. Larry, Guy of Cable TV. Yes. For some, they tried to call me Larry Boy, but I put a stop to that. Not a boy, but a man. No Larry Boy. Larry, Guy of Cable TV, that okay.
I know what you mean. So, Larry, I see that you studied human sciences at Auburn. What have you done with that?
You mean what I do since college and areas of work? Well, I studies lots of science at Auburn, and in human sciences, we try hard to grow people in the laboratory. Just kidding. I'm just kidding,
man.
Because
yeah.
that is way I roll. Yes, like the childrens are saying now, the what was it again? Oh, the way I roll. I'm a joker that way. But seriously, so what I am doing in homeland is to work with many of my fellow Georgians to destroy hunger and provide healthy foods for all the peoples there. We work on every person to give nutrition, to teach about good eating habits, you know, to eat food that helps body work properly.
Well, that is great that you're trying to improve the health of your fellow countrymen.
Yes, that is my mission and my life's work, to help how I can with this.
Well, Larry, I'm guessing it's getting it gets pretty cold over there where you are, especially this time of year. So that's
correct. Winter is usually extremely cold and can kill people with new shelters. So it is very bad to live on street in my country.
Really? Wow. No kidding. Well, Larry, what question do you have for AU fans?
Well, let me see. I tell opinion, and you say what you think, okay? Okay. You answer a similar question before, I think, but I say training for strength and eating healthy and training to be able to play long time periods is the main reason Auburn doing such big winning this season. So what is it you say? Could that be correct? Is it being healthy? Is that it?
Well, I guess, you know, given your background, it's not surprising that you have a question about the conditioning and the strength and conditioning of this team. And, you know, honestly, Larry, the one of the major improvements and one of the changes that I think you can point to for the success for this 2013 Auburn Tiger football team was the, you know, hiring of Ryan Russell, our strength and conditioning coach. And not only just the hiring of him, but the program that he has put these guys through. the players, you know, every player that I've seen interviewed and talked to about Coach Russell has really, you know, sung his praises to, you know, for the amount of hard work and the physical conditioning this football team is in versus previous years.
Yeah.
Of course, Coach Russell, you know, he's a younger guy, and he really runs a very, very up-tempo, not unlike Coach Malzahn's offense, a workout program. And, right. Again, he's already legendary at Auburn for the kind of workouts he's putting these guys through and the way he's transformed their bodies. And also, maybe very interesting to you, Larry, is they've also improved the diet. They're making sure these guys are not loading up on junk and so forth. So I can't say enough good things about the strength and conditioning program that's been started since Coach Malzahn came back to Auburn.
Yes, agreed, Stan. I agree with that. I do think Coach Malzahn and his staff are doing something totally different with these guys. Yep.
Right. You know, thanks for that insight and that question. Well,
but many thanks go to you for your AAU fans show, Stan. This is good thing, very good thing. Good like Tigers winning.
Larry, War Eagle?
Oh, War Eagle to you, Stan. Thank you very much. Thank you, my friend of Auburn, Stan.
Appreciate you calling in and taking time out of your busy schedule to ask that question and to share with us some of your background and everything to do with Auburn University.
No, no problem at all, I say. I love Auburn and the great teaching I was privileged to get while at great school. And other pupils and professors are very good to me. Loved being there. Loved the peoples of Auburn.
Again, Larry, War Eagle.
War Eagle!
Well, that'll do it again for this week, folks. Join us next week as we go into depth and preview the Alabama-Auburn game. A huge game, it always is, but even this year it's taken on some added significance with the trip to Atlanta, you know, hanging in the balance. So again, everybody have a great week. War Eagle, let's get our minds right so that we can go out and beat the Alabama Crimson Tide. War Eagle, everybody.
This has been an AU Fans Podcast with your host, Stan Stevens. Website and technical support provided by Keith Maxwell. Audio production by voiceofjweb.com. Join us again next week for more in-depth analysis on AUFans.com. Thank you for listening.